Hello, this is John, and I'm going to read the editorial. A long time ago, when the world was young, I was sitting in a cafe on the Asian side of the Bosphorus, drinking Turkish coffee and eating baklava. It was newly made, a perfect blend of phyllo pastry, chopped pistachios, all soaked in local honey. It was an epiphany. I was finally eating ambrosia, and could understand why the gods of antiquity ate it too. Many years later, last week in fact, I was sitting in a cafe near Carnaby Street, drinking Syrian coffee and eating baklava in Imad's Syrian kitchen with the chef himself. I complimented Imad on the baklava as it brought back that memory. His was that good. And on the Syrian coffee, which was more pleasant than its Turkish counterpart. He laughed. We were meeting to talk about my latest venture, the adaptation of a diary of the Syrian Revolution by Hadi Abdullah called Critical Conditions. It is harrowing, the story of a man, Hadi, struggling to tell the truth of his country's suffering under a murderous regime on social media and TV. All around him, his friends are killed by Assad's forces, and his own life remains in perpetual mortal danger. As he is forced to flee around Syria, he never loses hope of one day returning home. Imad knew all about Hadi, he was enthusiastic about the project and has offered to help bring it to fruition. But he also bemoaned his own lack of bravery. Hadi stayed and defied the regime. Imad had escaped Syria and after a horrendous journey across Europe had made it to England. He was sad he lacked Hadi's courage to remain and fight. But I told Imad that I think bravery has many dimensions, and to leave everything and everyone you love and make a journey so dangerous that at any moment you could be either killed or sent back to a murderous regime was in itself an act of bravery. And to create a future in a foreign land with a different language and do it successfully was an equal act of courage. And Imad didn't come to England because its streets are paved with gold. He had family here, and there was sanctuary for both him and his beloved wife and three daughters who he had left behind in tears in Syria. The chance to adapt Hadi's diary had fallen into my lap after a chance meeting in Benson Parish Hall with a Syrian professor who specialises in forced migration. I was sceptical at first, but agreed to read the book, which arrived in short order from a publisher in Los Angeles. As I read, my scepticism fell away. It reads like the Odyssey, the story of a man who journeys for years and loses everyone he loves as he yearns to return to his Ithaca, in Hadi's case, the city of Homs. And I love storytelling, so decided to set my new play in a Syrian cafe with a Hakawati, a traditional storyteller dressed in a long robe, who holds a sword and a book. Once, every cafe in the Levant gave hospitality to a Hakawati, who spends his day enchanting their customers with tales told from myth and history. And once, as a teenager, I was in the chorus of Oedipus Tyrannus in ancient Greek. It was an experience so profound that I decided to use that structure of Greek drama, complete with a chorus, to emphasise the universal nature of Hadi's story. And I also decided to include the wanderer, the blind Tiresias, neither man nor woman, who reflects on the state of a world that spins on its axis as human nature remains unchanged. As the 32nd volume of the Bulletin comes to its conclusion, I reflect that the magazine has its own storytellers, who I hope throughout a long and confusing year have occasionally engaged you as you sipped your instant coffee, ate jam donuts, and reflected on the acts of courage that make up all our lives.